This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, today's scripture reading is from Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it, 3, verse 17 through 19. And I want you to listen to these words carefully of the prophet. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. No matter what the issue, Habakkuk said, Lord, this is what I will do. I will rejoice in what? He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy. I will joy in what? I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, it's funny because in the very beginning, he asked the Lord, in chapter 1, verse 2, and he says, Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Anyone ever feel like him? Lord, how long must I cry and you not hear me? But by the end of this very short book, 3 chapters long, he comes out and says, I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. He doesn't say I'll rejoice in my situation. He does not say I will joy in my circumstances. But he focuses on rejoicing in the Lord and joying in the God of his salvation. We've got to put that same focus on our lives, do we not? Thank you, Adam. Now life's problems are all solved. We can go home now. We just focus on the Lord. Everything goes away. It doesn't go away, but he's positioning himself in a defensive mode should things go wrong. And he says, ahead of time, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. I know what I'm going to rejoice in. And I know where my joy comes from and what I will do. Now, it's interesting. Bad things didn't happen yet. He's simply stating his position of faith. He says, though it may not blossom. He didn't say, hey, it didn't blossom. He said, even if it doesn't. And though the labor of the olive may fail, he didn't say it failed. I'm without olives. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and though the flock may be cut off, the flock isn't cut off yet. He says, though that may happen, though circumstances may come against me or come to me, yet, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And it doesn't mean that he sat around worrying and fretting. Oh, Lord, what if the labor of the olive may fail? He wasn't doing that. He just said, if it happens, here's what I'm going to do. I'd like to think we all think, hey, that sounds like me. God, if you bring something my way, I will stand strong. You will stand strong until you fall. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Talk about standing on your faith till you fall. We're getting ready to read a story about a man. bad things didn't happen yet. Bad things may not have come your way, but position yourself and practice and be ready. Has anyone ever seen the movie about the plane crash in Iowa? The big plane and the hydraulics went out and they tried to land it and it crashed in Iowa years ago. And there was a guy that came as the safety director to this small town airport, in a semi-small town. And he said, if there's a crash, I said, we have never had a crash here and we haven't done these things. And he said, I want a red outfit, a red suit. I want to look like Santa Claus so when there's trouble, they know who's in charge. And they made fun of him, said, this is ridiculous. I mean, you're worried about this stuff. You want to look like Santa Claus? And then it happened. Big plane, hundreds of people, and their hydraulics went out. And they're trying to figure out how to get to this runway because they can only make turns one direction. And there's live video and it shows it and it's coming in at an angle and it clips the wing and devastation. People are thrown everywhere. The plane is in a cornfield. But the thing that they prepared for, they were ready for it because he insisted that they prepare for that. And when it came down to it, there he was in his red outfit. And they knew who to go to. And they knew who was in charge. Now our Savior isn't walking around in a red outfit. But we picture him sometimes in this glowing white robe. And we have to know when those things happen, do we know who is still in charge? Was, is, and forever shall be in charge. The one who is still sitting on the throne. We just have to be prepared and say, when this happens, should something happen, do we know who to look to? Do we know where to look? Do we know who to look to? Now in Mark chapter 14, the disciples are with Jesus. And in verse 10 and 11, I just want to touch base there with his close circle of people that have spent years with him. Standing strong. And let's read verse 10 and 11. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. We will stand strong until we fall. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. He chose to betray Jesus. Didn't see that coming. Now verse 27 through 31. And boy, I thought this thing sounds like all of mankind. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 29. Mankind. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And again, mankind spoke and said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Likewise. You see, even his disciples stood strong in their faith until they didn't. I am one of his 12. How much money are you going to give me to show you who he is and where he is? Let's go. There was Judas Iscariot. Jesus, you don't understand. You see, these weaker ones, they will deny you, but not me. Until he denied them that very night. 3 times. When we look at these, do we see any resemblance of ourselves? We like to think we're Habakkuk. Lord, in case these things go wrong, man, I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. Lord, even if these all deny you, I won't. But Jesus told him, you all will stumble because of me tonight. I think we all have had a moment where we've stumbled in our faith. Some of us have to look, well, probably this morning. Some have to look back a little farther or further, yesterday or the day before. The week, the month. We're only a few days into the month. But we've all stumbled. But we have to be ready for that stumble. We don't have to just say, hey, I know it's coming, so I'm not going to worry that much about it. We still have to position ourselves. New believers struggle hardest, I believe, because when they stumble and fall, they don't always know how to get up or where to go for help when they fall. And so the closest thing they do is just go back to the old group, the old ways. Remember, a couple weeks ago I talked about we are a new creation. Off the old, put on the new man. I love Mark Caldwell's reminder. Hey, we don't take that thing on and off like it's a robe or an outfit that we take off at the end of each day and say, I don't need that through the night. Oh, it's a little warm. I don't need my new coat representing the new man today. Some people think, oh, I'm going into this place. I better take off my new man because I'm going to act like my old man when I'm in there. I'm around these people. I'm a little stuffy. Hang on. Let me remove my new man coat and go back to my old man ways because I don't want you making fun of me because I don't talk the same way you do or laugh at the same things you do or find the same things humorous. See, I'm different. But we take it off. But we have to position ourselves to say, hey, should these things come against me, I want to be prepared for it. I want to be ready. Now the question is, how quickly do we get back up when we stumble? And how do we respond to that stumbling? Do we just say, oh my gosh, I stumbled over that thing again today. Oh my gosh, tomorrow I'm going to the same place. By a show of hands, does anyone know on any road they travel where certain potholes are? Show of hands. I do. We were driving the other day. I told my wife, said, ooh, shift to the left just a little bit. There's a pothole coming up here. After I hit that so many times, I'm like, I got to remember to avoid that. But we need people to help us watch out for those. This Spencer, I'm so grateful. Big pothole starting. I-40 and Douglas, stay in the left lane. That's what we need to be. Nigel, watch out. You're fixing to stumble. And by the way, you keep tripping over that. Pick a different route. Go around it. Jan, I'm tired of seeing you fall and Jim have to pick you up. Watch out for that, because it's a tripping hazard for you, so you should probably stay away from that. Well, that's just a little old thing I used to do. I could just jump right over it. Oh, I fell. Again, you know, those things. How quickly do we get up when we stumble? Habakkuk positioned himself, said, though this may happen, it hasn't happened yet, but I want to be ready. And when it comes, I want to rejoice in the Lord, and I want to joy in the God of my salvation. Because that's what I want to focus on, not my trials and tribulations that we're all going to have to some degree. Lord, I fell. What is God going to do about that? Well, He's prepared to forgive us. Now, He may give us some consequences as He forgives us. A lot of people misunderstand, say, if God forgave me, why did I have... Well, there's consequences for your action. You asked Him to forgive you, He did. But He gave you some consequences for that action. I broke my arm tripping over that this time around. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw Jan Murray tripped over it 10 times. She hadn't broke her arm yet. I broke my arm the first time. God just picks and chooses like that. We don't get to say, because she's never tripped, I'm going to do it, or never broken her arm, I'm going to do it and hope I don't break my arm. We can't do that. Just spin the wheel and hope it says yes or no. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, towards the end of the New Testament. And we'll see if we can connect these dots. You see, Habakkuk said, I've got to prepare in case this happens. And then you get the other guy says, the others are going to stumble, but not me. But by the end of the night, he stumbled. One man is preparing and positioning himself. I think the other, to a degree, was by denying that could happen to him. But he wasn't being realistic. Got all these people, they can stumble, but not me. They're weak, but not me, Lord. Anyone ever think that? Don't raise your hands. Anyone ever think that, though? Lord, those poor, weak people. Oh, dang, I'm on the ground again. I stumbled. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 through 25, and it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, when we stumble, we're reminded here, oh, by the way, Jesus was an example. We talk about wanting more in 24, and we talk about a spiritual awakening within us. Man, I don't think there's any greater awakening than saying, they'll all mess up, but not me. Boom, I just fell. That should be a wake-up call in itself. That's not just a Bible story. That happens every day. Oh, not just in non-believers, but in believers. Good grief, that was a disciple that betrayed him. Good grief, that was a disciple that said, they'll all mess up, but not me, Lord. Hey, Adam, not only will you mess up and deny me, but you're going to do it three times, Adam. You're going to deny me. I will never do this. Well, that's right. So long as the opportunity doesn't present itself, you never will. I know of a story of someone I would never steal from the company I work for. Until there was opportunity of no one overseeing their actions. And a couple $100,000 later, that person stole. Those weak financial people would do it, but not me. Unless given the opportunity. When given the opportunity, how strong are we? The Bible is full of stories talking about that. When the situation presents itself, how strong are we? When we mess up and we stumble and we deny Jesus three times. Lord, forgive me. He forgives you. And he says, hey, by the way, I sent my son to the cross. And he paid for your sins. And he knew he had to go there to do that. And he went willingly. We're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and all that that represents to our faith and reflect on Him who died on the cross for our sins. We've got to take time to reflect on the blood of the Lamb. We have to take time to reflect. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I think so. Let's not die with an I think so. Let us make sure. If you are not sure, you get with Pastor Eric, you get with me, you get with your parents, you get with someone you trust. But you also know what the Bible says about it. What does it say about it? Well, I said it earlier over there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. If you have not asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, your name is not in that Lamb's Book of Life. Kathy, I'm heartbroken at your neighbor's loss of their daughter. Let us not wait till tragedy strikes. Let us make sure we know that we're going to heaven. We have to reflect, is my name in there? Oh, and by the way, when my name is in there, am I tarnishing it at all? Doesn't matter, I'm going to heaven. Okay, but how are we representing? That's why I keep going back to, we are Christ's representative. We are ambassadors of Christ. We're not just going to heaven because we did something years ago as a child. And it's okay, and we don't have to worry about it. We also are, and it doesn't say you may be, you can be if you choose to select the job. We are His ambassador. We're His representative. We have to represent His love, His compassion, His mercy, His grace. We have to represent that. Reflect on the fact that your name is or isn't in the Lamb's Book of Life. Reflect on your faith walk and the position you're in when trials come. Do you rejoice in this day that the Lord has made? And do you rejoice in the Lord? And thank you for shaking your head. I saw that. Yes, I do. Yes, I do rejoice in this day. It's not just something I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool thing. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in that. It's because I want us to focus every week at Ground Zero. We go around, give us some great news. Why? Because we can find 1,000 things wrong. Can we just focus on something right and start the evening off right? It doesn't mean we can't talk about issues. And at the end, we always go around and we pray for the needs that we have. But we started off by giving something great that's happened to us over the last week. Do you rejoice in the day and rejoice in the Lord, in glory in the God of your salvation? A couple of weeks ago, I talked about reading obituaries and, you know, whatever happened to people saying they were a great servant of God and going about that. No, we hear they went to be with the Lord and their gardens were beautiful and their radishes they were known for. And we go into all the stuff and they love their lively pet, you know, whatever, Fluffy. And I stumbled across this obituary a couple days after I said that. And I'm going to read it to you because I love it. This is a lady named Melinda. And she was about 60 years old, 61. It says, Melinda, 61, went to be with Jesus, her Lord. And I love that. Specified her Lord. She worked countless hours in home, pouring into her children, and for 16 years as a computer teacher at a Christian school. In 2011, she was diagnosed with colon cancer. Through the sustaining hand of her Heavenly Father, she was able to see her 3 kids graduate from college and get married. She was also able to love on 3 grandchildren for the last 3 years. During this season, her faith was refined, like silver in the furnace, so that the likeness of Christ became increasingly evident for all who were watching. What a beautiful thing to say. She chose to cling to Christ, her hope, and make His good news known to all God brought along her path. During her journey as a patient with cancer, she told countless doctors, nurses, caregivers, friends, and strangers of God's goodness and the path He made to eternal life through His Son. Even in her last days, the phrase, "the story is true," rang repeatedly from her lips. It would be her and her family's greatest joy to know that God used her life and death to draw just one more person to know Christ as their Savior. We know she was received into heaven with a rich entrance by her Savior and heard the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We've heard that word from this church many times, and our loved ones that have gone on before us. And then it ended with this: a celebration of life will be held. And I thought, I want all of our services, when it's our time, to be like that. They use their trials and their struggles to tell other people about the goodness of God. And she chose in that time to tell other people about God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we can have the outlook of Habakkuk, preparing ourselves for what may come our way. God, I pray that when the time comes, that we also would be like Melinda, using that opportunity to tell others about the story of Jesus Christ and the strength of His love and the power of His love. And remind people that the story is true. God, I pray that as we prepare for Easter, we don't say, there's just Christmas time to tell people about our Savior. Or Easter, there's just Easter to talk about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But Lord, we use every opportunity we have every day with those that come into our path. And Lord, at times that we go out of our way to reach out to them and share the love of Jesus Christ with them. God, if there's anyone today that isn't sure if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God, that you would just draw them to myself or Pastor Eric, so that we could speak with them about that opportunity or confirm or tell them what is necessary to have their name in the Book of Life. God, I pray that you humble us so that we don't stand before men and say, they will do it, but not me. They are weak, but not me. God, when we do stumble and fall, that you're there to help us up. Lord, that you're there to forgive us and bring us back to yourself and back to your path and your light. God, I pray today that the message penetrates the hearts and minds and souls of those that are hearing it in person, on Facebook, online, however they hear it. But Lord, they do not leave this place unchanged. And that we think about this days and weeks and months down the road to prepare ourselves to walk strong with you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.